Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Oh, welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, and this is going out on Mintwave Radio. So just ask Alexa or website, carolbertscoaching.com/mintwave-radio to listen in live for in future or see our schedule. If this is, you're seeing this on a podcast, again, you can see other podcasts that are on our network, same website, /podcast-network. And just look around and see what podcasts take your fancy. You can download the app for Apple and Android. So please subscribe to any and follow any or leave a comment. So today's episode is 123. And today we have Tara McCommons. Have I pronounced that correctly, Tara?
Yes.
Awesome. And she is a spirituality, psychology and subconscious trauma release coach. And we're going to be talking about how to use upsets and triggers for your growth. Well, that's a little bit different. We're always being taught to sort of somehow get rid of these. So this will be an interesting conversation. So I'm your host, Karen Roberts. So we own Mintwave Radio. If you're a coach or a consultant out there and you're interested in having your own show, then get in contact. We also have the Raising Vibrations podcast network. At the end of the day, it's for coaches to get their message out there to the people who need to hear it. So if you want to get in touch, get in touch. So thank you, Tara, for being here. I know you're a long way from us and you're 8 hours behind us. So you're in the past. It's a busy, bizarre concept, isn't it? But Tara has started in alternative health back in 2011 as a QRA practitioner, which is quantum reflex analysis. Oh, she'll explain more in a second. She became fascinated with using muscle testing to assess the subconscious emotional issues behind physical illness. And she had an existential crisis and went on to study spirituality from a place of universal law and having a more open perspective. And there she's certificated in E4 trauma method as a master spiritual psychology coach and new thought practitioner. Well, that's a first. That sounds incredibly interesting. First of all, Tara, even QRA, something I've never, ever heard of before. So quantum reflex analysis, what is that?
Yeah, quantum reflex analysis is a health system created by a man named Dr. Marshall. I came across it when I was actually a nanny for an autistic child, and I was always looking for things to help him. And I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Muscle testing is a way of tapping into the body's subconscious reaction to true and false, or weak and strong. So everything on a vibrational level is either strengthening the energy in your body or weakening the energy in your body. From a lie that you say, which will weaken your energy, to a toxin that you bring into your body versus something healthy or saying a true statement. And so with muscle testing, some people are familiar with it from their chiropractor, asking them to put their arm up and pushing it down. Mm-hmm. There's also, if you've gotten into alternative health, what's called the O-ring test, where you're pressing your fingers together. Yep. Really, you're, instead of looking at brain. Someone calling. Rather than looking at brain waves to notice the difference in the body when you say a lie or you say a truth, you're using the muscle system. It creates a weakness in the body. And so all things being equal, if you're pressing your fingers together, and I were to put pressure pulling them apart, when you say a true statement, you'll find it effortless to keep your fingers together. When you say a false statement, you'll find it near impossible to keep them together. It'll be like, I just handed you kryptonite. You'll say, what did you just do?
So, well, that's the body doesn't lie then.
The body doesn't lie. Yeah, very famous book, right?
Yeah. Fantastic. So, well, can you share with the audience a little bit about, so that's, you know, that's your background professionally, but what led you here? What were the things that sort of brought you onto this course for your career? You're obviously very passionate about what you do. You're obviously on purpose. So, share your story, please.
So I think that drive to help others was something that was always a big part of, you know, I was a nanny, I was an assistant, I was a person, it's a lot of things. But when I found this system, I thought, well, this is amazing. You can let the body tell you what it needs. But what I became really fascinated with wasn't the physical things, was this way to tap into emotional statements, like having somebody say, I love myself, and have their grip go weak because their body says, no, I don't. Their subconscious, like, I'm not fully in alignment with that. And so that's what I became fascinated with. And then I had my little existential crisis, which really sent me searching. And in that, you know, really coming to a space of studying and understanding our entire being from a place of emotion and the body and the mind and spirit, right? Or that eternal aspect of us. So that's kind of how I landed here, was just being fascinated with that. And then my own spiritual journey. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love the fact that so many people now are finally looking at all aspects of health, because, you know, it's been very, very the physical part. And I, you know, I'll hold my hand. I personally come from a very physical background, a sports therapist for 27 years. So, yeah, very, you know, if it hurts when you do that and not when you do that, it must be this, trying to fix the thing, but from a very physical perspective. We now, I think, for the last decade or so, we've come to the conclusion that there is mind has an effect. You know, how we think and feel is going to have an effect, because I think, you know, there's so much talk about mental health and stress. And we now realize, you know, that is actually having an effect on us physically. And then I think now the final part, the spiritual part, whether you're religious or not, it's irrelevant, whatever you want to call it. And having that sort of rounded process to treating people, because you want it all in balance, right? You can't really do one fully without all of them being in balance. So is that what you feel with what you're doing, is a very holistic approach?
100%. In fact, I work now in tandem, and especially at our retreats, I work in tandem with another practitioner, where her gift is really that energy space. You know, she's a certified Reiki practitioner. She's also, it's just her gift out of her trauma that she can sense and feel in other people, in her body, what is going on in somebody else. And so when we work together, I'm more the mental to the emotional, and she's the energy to the emotional, which all culminates in the physical body. And so when we work to really clear those subconscious spaces together, that is one of my favorite things I've seen, is rather than going to three different practitioners, we can sit down and clear, make sure the mental space is clear, make sure the energy in the body is clear, make sure the emotion is released, and do it from that, like you said, that absolutely holistic perspective. And everyone's spiritual journey obviously is their own. So we will talk about that, but that journey, we can give only guidance. We cannot say, look, here's the answer. We can teach on principle.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's the, you know, I would see that as the energy healing, you know, that is the woo-woo part of it, if you like. It doesn't have to be related to religion per se, or anybody's personal beliefs. It is the energy part of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is the funny thing about energy. You're exactly right. It's like, is it spirit? Is it wavelength? Is it, you know, I mean, energy is such a diverse thing. It's such, and it is everything, right? When we really look at molecules, there's just space and energy. So yeah. 100%.
Well, that's what we are. Do you think there's going to be sort of a change in everybody sort of seem to be coming more towards the understanding that, you know, energy healing or frequency, you know, there's so much in that. Do you think there's a sort of shift in your sort of area of expertise?
I mean, I think in the world, yes, but I also think that human beings tend to want something to just do it for them. And that's never going to be the case, right? I mean, you could have a device that's sending yourself the right frequency, but if you're not doing the work to shift the beliefs and to shift the identity and to really address what's gone on, then it just is going to kind of bounce off, right? So there's no getting away from doing our work, regardless of how amazing our technology gets, or, you know, how much we start to understand these things. But it's just like, in a physical sense, I can give you all the answers of how exactly to work out and how to eat to get in shape to that level, right? Or perform at that level, but I can't do your workout for you.
There you go. And like you say, I suppose all these things and having different devices. Yeah, I've got a device for frequencies, but you're so right. It's not, again, it's a plaster, isn't it? Because yes, you can get the frequencies, but if you don't do, and I love what you said there, you've got to do the inner work. There is some work to be done, but do you feel that, again, we're so conditioned, and I know it's going to be different depending on where you are in the world, but a lot of the Western world has been brought up or conditioned to totally give their power away to somebody that they perceive to be an authority on health. And like you say, they want this quick fix, and there's never going to be one. Doesn't matter what kind of device or pill or solution you could, like you said, giving somebody advice on exercise, nutrition, it's a journey rather than we're all looking for this one thing to fix everything. It's never going to happen, is it?
No. Yeah, but just like in sports, you can have assists, right? You can have a device that pulls your shoulder back so you get an idea of what it feels like to have your shoulders in the right place. Or you can, have it get extra protein to boost what's the repair that's going on in your workout. So it's not that those frequencies and those devices aren't amazing. Maybe it teaches your brain about a state that it's never encountered, and that helps you to now have that state of mind in your everyday waking. But you don't want to have to walk around with that device on in order to be a calm person, right? So there are great assists, amazing assists. Right.
But it's all about getting down to the root cause of the problem to actually eliminate it for good. Otherwise, I suppose it's like, people want to lose weight. They go on diets continuously because they're going to bounce back because they haven't really dealt with the root cause of why they were overeating, or were they an emotional eater. Is there some kind of emotional blockage going on? Mm-hmm. Which, unless you're clear, you're just going to keep, that's why people keep bouncing up and down.
100%. And that's exactly why I became fascinated with the muscle testing, because we could get to the root issue of why somebody didn't fully love themselves, which is why they're going to have an eating disorder in the first place. I would never go after the eating disorder. We're going to go after self-love or self-hate or however you want to look at that. Because when you can, it's just like a lake. If you cut off the source, right, the water draining from the lake, it's going to dry up all the streams below it naturally. And so I don't know if you want to go into talking about that, but my favorite thing now is upsets and triggers, because those will show you where your stuff is faster than anything, and you don't have to have muscle testing to figure it out.
Oh, yes. Interesting. So, yeah, with regards to that, because I think there's a lot of talk about that these days, about dealing with trauma and releasing trauma. And so it sounded like, just from what I read out there, was that actually getting excited about when you get triggered. Why? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so it comes from the fact that I'm about to learn something new about myself. And that if you understand that all a trigger is something present tapping on something deeper and past inside, and you're not sure what it is because you're thinking about it's about this present thing. But once you understand that when you're truly triggered, I mean that level of escalation that really is not appropriate to the situation or is causing complete dysregulation in your being, it's never about the present moment. I will say 99% of the time it is never, ever about the present circumstance or moment. That is pinging something deeper in you. Otherwise, it couldn't upset you or dysregulate you to that level. And so when we take people through processes to release the emotion of the immediate and they start talking, we'll add one simple question regarding your husband saying XYZ to you, what upsets you about that? And they go, blah, 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 and they say all the things. And I'll say, great, okay, what else upsets you about that? And as they get farther and farther along, one, you're discharging the emotional energy, which is what's going to keep you stuck thinking and obsessing about that thing. You're acknowledging, right, everything that's upsetting you, you're releasing. That alone will take you from a 10 to a 2 to a 0. But what if you start listening attentively, what you'll hear is that eventually you'll get to, and it made me feel like when they did, it made me, once you get through what happened, right? Well, it made me feel like I was insignificant. It made me feel like I don't matter. And I'm like, and that's what we're looking for, because it's the feeling creating that matters, because that's what's causing your upset. And then does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because I suppose instantly people will give you superficial answers, or they'll give you the answers that you think that they're supposed to say. So I suppose by just keeping on digging in, keep asking what else to actually get to the real cause. And interestingly, say it is. It's always going to be the feeling part of it, how it makes us feel. And I suppose, is that going to be linked to even how we store? Because, you know, you're not even going to remember one Thursday 3 weeks ago at 3 o'clock unless something major happened, right? Good or bad, but something that invoked a strong feeling, negative or positive, because in general, people are sort of going throughout their day on a level. A lot of people, unless something major happens, to stimulate a stronger feeling. So is that why? Is that sort of linked to why this is? So that's why we've got to get down to how it make them feel to release that?
Yes. I mean, the short answer to that is yes, because the feeling is where the energy is. So what's happening is you're triggering a feeling, an energy that's linked to a time you felt like that before. I guarantee it. Not enough. Couldn't cut it. No matter what I did, it didn't work. Let's just say not enough. It's a very classic one, right? Somewhere in your childhood, you experienced exactly what you're talking about, an experience where your emotions were heightened. And then you made a decision, which is, I must not be enough. And that can come in from, I mean, as early as the womb. Could come in earlier, but let's just keep it in this lifetime, the womb, and then, you know, your childhood experiences going forward. And then once you make that decision in a heightened emotion, it imprints on the subconscious. And now that's your track. That's your filter. And you're going to keep having those experiences, keep bringing them in, keep recreating them, because the psyche loves to reinforce what it already believes once it's established. So that's why when we have upsets and triggers, I get excited because, well, A, they don't happen for me very often. As you do your work, they happen less and less. And then you start to get curious when they do happen, even though the emotion is unpleasant. You know, it could be a panic attack. And you're, okay, let me sit myself down and say, okay, what is upsetting me right now? And as you verbally, and I mean, it's very important that it's verbally express and let whatever emotion needs to come up and out. And then you can start coming back online in the analytical mind and looking at, as you release the emotion, what's actually going on. And it's amazing. It's amazing. I swear, if you take yourself through this process, you will sometimes be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't go to that person upset. Because all your upset will be released. You'll be in perfect calm and you'll see that everything was your stuff, was your filter.
Right. And is this kind of, I don't know whether you call it a therapy, but is it something that's done once and then that's it, you're healed? Or is it a continual journey? I mean, I think like you said earlier, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. I mean, we are like onions. You've got to peel off one layer. There'll always be something else to heal that we may not be aware of. But for some people, even if they're not aware consciously of these things, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of the stuff is that we do throughout our day that could be linked back to some kind of trouble. We might not be consciously aware of it. So how are you getting people to connect with the real it if they're not consciously aware?
Okay, so let's talk about that. So awareness, your body's trying to make you aware by the panic attack or by the anger or by the upset. So now that's your first step in awareness. Now you're going to try and sort out through this process of asking, it's a series of questions. That's just the first one that allows you to express and release and kind of dig underneath. And once you get to, oh my goodness, I don't believe I'm enough. That's my subconscious command. And I can see it as a theme through my whole life, right? Then what, right? As you're asking, then what? So then what is, this is going to depend. I would highly recommend going to somebody trained. Now you've like, I've got my subconscious command. How do I release it? If it's light, it's not deeply tied, you can probably just release it through an intention, a release state. I now release the belief I'm not enough. And then you can bring in a positive affirmation. But you need to create the feeling within your being to make it work. You can't just say it offhandedly and expect it to change anything. But if you were to come to me and say, I have an issue with being enough, then I would take you through a process where we would let your consciousness, and you can learn to do this on your own, but I don't know how other than going through it and experiencing it a few times, where you allow your consciousness to bring up that root memory You connect deeply to the feeling, and then you just say, okay, where did this start? A good question to ask is, what is the earliest I remember feeling this way? Maybe it's so early that you're like, I've always felt this way. Okay, it's rooted really early, one, two. But you'd be amazed what happens when you sit in stillness and you hone in on something and you just open up and ask, because all the information is there with inside of you. And then you walk through that memory and do the same thing. Release the emotion. Express how you felt. Acknowledge the needs that weren't met. And you can bring in a little inner child work where your adult self now comes into the picture and meets the needs of the child in that memory. And you feel whole, or you get that comfort. And yes, it's all happening in your imagination. But the incredible thing is that your brain doesn't know the difference. Literally, this is science, doesn't know the difference between an imagined event and something that actually happened.
Right. So it sounds like you can totally reprogram. I mean, I always say that's, you know, we need one of these things like at the Matrix, where we can just download any old processes that aren't serving us, any bad habits, and then upload a new one. If only it were that simple.
Really?
But I suppose that is the work, like you just said. I hear this from many different coaches and healers when they're doing this kind of work, that, you know, it's not there to be pretty. It's not necessarily going to be a pleasant experience in the beginning, because it is about facing it. And I suppose, do you find that many people are sort of running away from it because naturally we want to run away from pain? Or how do you find people deal with this process, or, you know, I suppose being with you, that it is going to be in a controlled environment and you can help take them through the process?
Yeah, I think people are deeply searching for how. I see my patterns, right? There's so much awareness now. I see my patterns. I know my stuff. I'm attracting the wrong kind of partner. How do I change it? They want the actual action steps. And then it's like, okay, well, and there is fear sometimes coming into a session, but it's very gentle, and being held and have that container to be held for you is an amazing experience. I still go to other practitioners because I don't want to play practitioner and client. I want to be able to fully release into my inner child space, fully go into that emotion, and not have to bounce back and forth into both spaces. So I will say there's no way but through. And if someone is avoiding, I'm like, get with somebody you trust to take you through a process, and you'll learn it's really not that scary. And it's actually kind of fun. You know, it's like
it's going to get you the result that you're looking for then as well. So for you personally, how did going through it help yourself and your life?
I did so much work. You know, I was classic giver, helper, fixer type, which tends to attract that more narcissistic, emotionally unavailable partner. Classic, right? So it's the on again, off again for 10 years. And I finally were in the last 2 years space. And I really got into this work. And at that time, I didn't have all the tools I had, but I had the muscle testing, and I could find out what I was believing that wasn't correct. And I could look myself in the eyes in the mirror and say these release statements, or these love and forgive statements. So I was actively started working on self-love. And I actively started working on loving and forgiving this person who'd been in my life for a very long time, right? At this point, 8 years. And I was still full in. I still had to go all in and experience seeing if this relationship could work. Sometimes we just have to play out our stories and our dramas. But I gave myself a time limit, and I continued to work on my stuff. And I will tell you that when you do that, like, it's like slowly becoming oil, right? And rising to the surface. And if somebody wants to stay water, you will separate, right? They have the choice. They can rise with you. It's very, very rare that somebody that you attract when you're in a vibration of the old commands is going to actually at the same time want to do, there is your mirror of your stuff. So the odds of them coming with you in that journey are very slim to none. So just be aware, everyone out there, you start doing your work. Yes, relationships will leave because they're no longer going to be a match to who you are and what you're vibrating at. So that's probably one of the biggest things that I saw. And when it came time for that break, was it probably one of the most painful things I experienced? Yes, but it also catapulted me into a whole different level of life. So,
right. And I suppose that the thing is they've got to be willing to change. You can't change other people. You can only work on yourself. So yes, and unless people are ready, if they're ready to listen and they're ready to take action, they ain't changing.
Yeah. Let them go in love. Say thank you for your service. Thank you for collecting my stuff to me. I'm off to go deal with it. And I have an amazing partner now. I live in an amazing place. And it has its own challenges, but they're different. It's not constantly, and I will say that about work. Yes, there's levels, it never ends. But you, when operating in the negative of trying to get out of pain is very different than from peace is your norm. And now it's what level of joy can I create? What level of fulfillment can I create? And it's a different game. It's the same game, but it's a different game at the same time.
And I would have thought it's going to have things are going to shift a lot quicker than when you're down there. Well, I mean, I can relate to that last time for being in a toxic relationship. Yeah, been there, done that. They're not going to be ready to heal themselves if they're not ready.
They're not, and that's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. It's their journey, right? So when you say about how can you use being upset, how can you use that? I mean, because, you know, for a lot of people, once they're on that, like, roundabout, you know, they've really got on and they're in that story of being triggered. How do you then turn it into a tool for growth?
Well, I would say that you have to just, A, know, right, and establish in your being, knowledge is power. This is not about what I think it's about. That's the first thing you have to remember. If you're that triggered, it is not about that moment. That actual present moment is about what it represents. It's about the meaning you have placed on it. And that's what you want to get curious about. I wonder what I'm making this mean. Usually about yourself. That's what the things that are going to upset you the most, right? Because we say this, right? It has nothing to do with me. Why would I care? Unless it has something to do with you. So you have to realize you're assigning meaning to this. And you probably assigned the meaning way, way long time ago for it to be this charged. So as you take yourself away from the situation, know in your mind, this is not about this. I want to find out what it's actually about. I'm so curious what is underneath this, and start asking yourself that question. What about this thing that happened upsets me? And start talking and listening as you're talking and expressing and feeling all the emotions and get in touch with that. If you can get to the emotion, then you're getting to the root. That's like your lifeline back to the core space, back to the root of the issue. And then a simple question. I mean, we are really cutting it to simple, but if you can figure out what that root emotion is, then you can ask yourself, okay, when's the first time I felt like that? So I'm saying, like, just, or if you have a practitioner you're working with, you can be like, I had an aha moment. I worked through this thing that happened. And now I realize this is what I'm believing. This is what I decided, that this must mean this. This person acting this way means I'm insignificant, means they don't care. And you're that powerful. You get to assign the meaning in your life. You get to decide what everything means and then therefore control the experience that you have.
It's empowering. It's empowering. So it is for the, you know, dealing with stuff once and for all rather than putting a plaster on the problem.
Well, I will say it's too. Using that question series, you know, will take you out of the upset, will help you calm just in releasing being heard and being acknowledged. So it is an immediate handling of it in one sense, but it's also the real gold. It's like draining the tank, is always what I say to people. It's like you've got this tank that's full of water and it's sloshing around. And when you go through that process and releasing and verbally expressing, you're draining the tank. Great, right? So we're not full of charge and upset anymore. That could just be enough in and of itself. But if you look at the bottom now, there's these gold nuggets sitting there as to what's really going on underneath in the subconscious space. And now you can take those and take them to a practitioner or take them into your own spiritual practice and sort them out. If it's not getting you the experience that you want to have, then you're empowered to change it.
And there you go. And so it just, again, just goes to show that, yeah, we don't have to give our power away for our own health. And actually, we all have the power within us. And we all have the knowledge within us. So it's interesting that it's really is as simple as sitting, being honest with yourself and asking yourself questions. It always sort of comes back to that. But do you find that it takes practice for people to do this? I mean, how do you work with people? If people are coming to you, what are they coming to you with? What sort of issues are they looking to heal?
I would say a lot of people are just in a space of they're like, I know I have childhood trauma and I know it's creating these patterns, but I don't know what to do to fix it. And so we're starting at the beginning. If they've got a lot of emotional upset on the beginning, we can't go to those deeper spaces yet. We have to settle that.
Peel back the layers.
But I never mind it because those upsets are going to show me exactly where we should go next in the deeper spaces. And so going back into a memory and just imagine that memories and things, those repeating cycles are held in place by energy. And so when you can go back into a memory and tell it again and again, this is part of a process. You say it again in first person, like you're there. Now, again, only with a professional am I going to recommend this, because if you have some severe trauma and you're going back into those experiences, there are measures to be taken to make sure that you don't do any more damage. But I will say the difference between some of these processes and what I think talk therapy, which also has its own place, is that you're going in, it's more like surgery. Talk therapy is like going and seeing your general practitioner and telling him what's wrong and you guys making a game plan. This is surgery. We're going to go into that memory. We're going to go relive it, but we're going to relive it with a very specific purpose. And you're going to release all of the energy, all of the emotion that's trapped in that experience. We're going to identify what you decided in that moment. And we're going to keep playing it till all the charge is gone. So you can tell me that traumatic beating of your sibling that you witnessed, like I got up and I got a pencil and I sat down. And it will run out, okay? That emotional charge cannot go forever. You keep saying it, you keep laying it out, it will release at some point, and you will see all the things you decided in that moment about yourself or life or others. And now you're in a powered position to take that and change it because you've released the charge, the energy holding it in place. Now you have neutrality and you have identification, right? So you can say, okay, no. And most of the time when you truly release that energy around that incident, the new truth drops in like that. I'll repeat their old thing back to them and say, is that true? You said, I'm not enough. Is that true? And they're like, no. I'm like, what is true? And it's their words, right? It's their new aha of truth that comes through. And that's going to be what I write down.
That's powerful. So it's not you telling them, they've come to that conclusion. Well, because they're in an, whatever you want to call it, soul, their higher self, whatever it is, knows.
Yes.
That you are perfect and totally worthy and, you're not broken. You don't need fixing. It knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intentional. It sounds like it's just very intentional. Yeah, you're going in like surgery. Yeah, cut it out. Get rid of it for good.
mm-hmm. And replace it. That. It's very important. Replace it with something new. Otherwise, we're going to default back to the old because nature hates a vacuum, hates a void. So it's going to fill it. So that's very important. So I'll give them their new statements and I'll say, look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and say this. And sometimes it's just extra precaution because that new truth has landed so fully, they're never going back to that old thing. But sometimes those things have more than one root. Maybe we've just undone one. And so we're going to look ourselves in the eye and really start establishing that as a truth for ourselves. And it'll help unravel the rest of the things as it goes.
Right. And so with regards to when people are dealing with any kind of childhood trauma, do you see it manifesting as particular physical ailments? Do you see the link there or is it just completely random?
If you want to look into using your physical issues to clue into what's going on emotionally, I would highly recommend a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Oh, Louise Hay, yes.
She's amazing, yes. Right. She's got an index of correlations. Another really cool book, if somebody wants to start going through stuff on their own, not necessarily linked to the physical as directly as hers, is Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. I forget who it's by. It's also by a woman. But that one's an amazing self-work tool. And she has an index in the back of every negative emotion. Because half the time we can't even identify what we're feeling. We don't have language, especially men do not have language. And so she's got this index of all the negative emotions. But the beautiful thing is she also right next to that are the four, we consider it opposite spirits of that negativity. And then she has a little script you can walk through. So there's a lot of tools out there. If you're not ready or you don't have the resources to go to a practitioner, those are two amazing books. You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay and Feelings Buried Alive Never Die.
Yeah. Page. I mean, it's just fascinating to think that, you know, we have the, I mean, it is a perfect system. Our bodies are such complex machines, if you like, but it just goes to show that everybody, every single person is going to have things that they, you know, to really, really be the best version of themselves would benefit from having healed. Because, you know, I can't remember what the age is up to. Is it up to 7 when you're totally, your subconscious is just totally wide open. You're a complete sponge. So any little thing that could happen, even just the way some, you know, your teacher spoke to you could have had an effect, which mm-hmm. just goes on and on and on. And it's just amazing that it is such, it's obviously completely natural. Nobody gets away with this. Yeah. Nobody got away with having a perfect childhood, and that, no one to blame there. You know, they could have had the perfect parents, but you don't know what went on in school, or somebody said something at one point. And it's just quite fascinating how all this can have a knock-on effect and come into your adulthood and affect your day-to-day life, your business life, your relationship life, your health, absolutely everything. And yet, do you think enough people really understand that, or they're still waiting to go get a pill?
You know, it's so funny because I work in this world. I feel like everybody knows about it. And then I have to have a reality check. And sometimes probably like, no, probably 80% of the population still doesn't operate in awareness of these things. So, you know, it's happening. And we're going to keep amazing people like you spreading the word and making things available. Are you a parent? Do you have kids?
I am. I've got 2 daughters. Yep.
Do you ever get nervous about this? About like, oh my goodness, like, am I going to mess them up, or is it going to...
Oh, all the time. And I would say they've both been brought up listening to, you know, back in the day when I had a cassette in the car. That's how long ago it was. Listening to, I don't know, Bob Proctor. And they'd be like, oh, is this Bob again? Or Esther Hicks? You're listening to Abraham, Mum.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have been brought up with it. But, you know, you repeat things as a mother automatically, and you can all, you know, you can hear your own mother's voice. There's so much programming that goes on, even with, you know, bringing up your children, even when you are open to all this. So, you know, I hope I've done a good job. I've done the best job that I can be, but I'm sure there will be and we speak about it quite a lot, and there are things that happened in their child, nothing major, but you know, at the time, and it has brought, you know, it has had an effect on them in later life. We can't protect them from everything, can we?
No. And I was, to that note, I was going to say to all parents out there, because I know as you become more aware, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing to my children? And you can't avoid it. It's not to be avoided. And if you did, you would be stealing from them their experience that they came here to have. And so I always say, I use this because everybody knows Anthony Bourdain, right? And he had a documentary done. And I thought something he said was so profound, because he really kind of took on that role of the tragic artist, right? The tortured artist. And he said, the only thing my parents ever did wrong was love me well. But I wanted this experience, right? Something in his being wanted to live this experience. So he found pain in high school. He found different experiences. He created them. And it was nothing that his parents did. For whatever reason, that was a role he wanted to come experience and play in this drama we call life. And I thought that was such a profound, like, let yourself off the hook a little bit, parents. These are fully, fully formed spiritual beings coming in. They look like little children, but their spirits are not. And so if you can understand that you're just a guide, you're just here to help them become the fullness of what they're trying to experience and not control that for them, it takes a lot of pressure off you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think there is so much pressure on parents so much pressure on the kids themselves these days as well. But yes, it is knowing that, you know, and I came from a very loving home. My parents were amazing. Did I rebel? Yes, I still rebelled. You know, they did the best they could with the information they had at that time. And that's all any of us can do. And it's just all part of the wonderful journey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And emotions too. I'll say that for the ones we are considering negative. I want to say that when you develop a meditation practice is an essential part of any kind of growth, I believe, an essential part of any kind of spiritual practice. When you start to identify with that you're not your body and you're not your emotions and you're not your thoughts, that was such a like epiphany for me in my process. I'm not even my thinking. I'm some of the thing that can observe my thoughts. Wow. But I have this experience in the first year of my relationship where, you know, you're not sure if it's going to work. And maybe you're talking about breaking up. And I just was so sad. I mean, I would have these waves of sadness and sobbing come through me, but it was the first time I'd ever experienced it like that, like a wave that came through me. And I kind of, there's a part of me that sat back and just was like, wow, like didn't make pain wrong. Didn't try to fix it. Didn't try to make myself get out of it, which is like what I think people tailspin half the time, you know, upset about the upset that they're in. And
yes,
I was like, wow, how, what the realization that came to me is I just experienced the pain and the sadness moving through me. And I didn't try to block it. I would just allow those waves to roll through. And I was like, wow, I care. Isn't that beautiful? I really care.
Ah. But what you said there, I think that is really important, that you have found a way to sort of step back and allow it. And I think sometimes, I'm not putting blame anywhere either. It's because it's all our perception of things. But, you know, we've got to be positive all the time and, you know, and almost trying to deny feelings. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you allow them to pass, they will pass rather than fighting against, you're going to just bring them more to, and you're going to hold that space. And then the other thing that what I got from there was, which I totally agree with, and I realized I'd been getting it wrong for a very long time, is about the thoughts. Because, you know, the whole self-development arena was always talking about thoughts become things and your thoughts manifest through you and thoughts. And actually, I realized that, oh, it's actually a lot easier than that. Actually, maybe no thought. I call it I'm practicing my unthinking. So yes, I'll meditate, but I also be the opposite and be really awake, very aware of my surroundings, but no talking and no thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's what I found, where ideas come to me. I just, everything flows from that point. And so, yeah, I think with, for anybody, I totally agree. Meditation is part of the process, but also being actually really, really in your body and really, really in the moment, but stop all, finding a way to stop that chitter chatter. And it's fascinating to hear that. So for you in your own experience, that moment of being able to step back and allow those feelings and be like a third party, you're watching it, experiencing it, but allowing it to flow rather than resisting it. Do you think the whole sort of, you know, that whole self-development arena has sort of shifted with I mean, it probably goes in cycles because a lot of this has been around for 100 years, but do you feel that there's a shift from the it's all got to be thoughts to the let's go with the feeling place?
I mean, maybe traditional psychology is starting to shift, you know, to acknowledge that. I think that in the alternative health, it's actually been a little bit more, it's more just, where are you learning? Because there's, you know, the somatic movement and doing somatic trauma work, all body, right? And inner child work is an aspect of maybe like more traditional psychology that really does get into the emotional space. But I think it just kind of depends on where somebody finds their jam. If you're more attuned to your physical body, you're probably going to be drawn to doing more somatic work with people. I probably should do more somatic work because I'm not as necessarily naturally tuned to my body. I'm all here. So
yeah, but should we not go with what resonates with us? Or I mean, I suppose that's the thing, is it? Mm-hmm. How do you know whether you are really resonating with it or whether there's just some resistance? Does that make sense?
Whether you're really resonating or whether there's, say it again, rephrase it for me.
Well, so, you know, sometimes, you know, like you just said, oh, maybe you should do that type of work because it's not really you. But is that because you're resisting it, or is it just that you go with what resonates with you and your style?
You know, I think I think I did a lot of the mental work just through release statements and affirmations, because that was the tool I had. And that was the closest thing I could get to, you know, bypass my brain and get to what was really going on through the muscle testing. And then as I got into other forms of work that really were more about tapping into the emotion, I was like, oh yeah, this is where it is. Sometimes statements will bring up emotion, and that's beautiful, but not always. So are there other tools to get into the emotion? And I think that my place of resistance still is doing more somatic type work, and probably the area that I am going to push myself to move into, just to see what is there, just to see what is there.
I mean, again, it's like horses for courses, isn't it? It's whatever works for you, it works. And which is why there isn't, you know, all roads lead to Rome, whatever. And this is, I think, the problem with the traditional health arena is everyone saying it's my way or the highway. I mean, I know, you know, we've got different systems over here because of, you know, and I'm not dissing the NHS before anybody panics, but because we've got this umbrella, there's nothing outside of that. You know, this is the way we do it, and it's our way or the highway. And everybody's sort of arguing over which method works the best. Whereas, like what you guys are doing, and you're working together as a team, so you're bringing different aspects in, you're bringing different skill sets into the table, and that's what works, isn't it? So rather than having this one way, no, there's lots of different ways you can get the same result from. And so it must be quite fun then working together. You say you do retreats, and tell us a little bit more about those.
So we do them twice a year right now, and we do more as it goes along, but the weather up here is ideal in those two times. And so our next one is in May, this coming May, and it's very small. It's just 6 to 8 women right now. We do one-on-one work with each of them. We do a medicine journey. We do breath work. We do sound, you know, therapy. We do some different electric pulse therapy, different things. We just bring in a lot of different things, but we always do our breath work and meditation in the morning. It's very intimate. It's just an amazing set. So that's, but working together, yes, it's amazing, because it's just like this back and forth. And when I kind of get stuck in the mental space, she can go into the feeling space and give and have more information or clues come from that, which was, oh, okay, cool. That's the direction we're going. And it just kind of flows really beautifully back and forth.
Perfect. And where is here?
Oh, sorry. Yosemite. Up near Yosemite in California, in the United States. just below the South Gate to Yosemite. And so it is beautiful. We're up in the Sierra Nevada mountains.
Lovely. Well, it's miserable here, let me tell you. I'm in London, so.
It is snowing. I mean, it is cold up here right now. It is clear, but yes, snow.
Right. So your next retreat, and what? How else do you help? So for any of the listeners who are quite fascinated about this subject and would like to find out more, mm-hmm. Obviously we've got your, if, depending on if you're watching the podcast, and you can see Tara's details below, but to the listeners, how would they get in touch with you?
So right now the only real platform we have is Instagram, and it's just at Choose Your Becoming, and there's underscores between the words at Choose Your Becoming. And that's the best way to get in contact with us, is through Instagram. But if, as far as work, actual sessions, we can do those virtually, because I work with a partner. In the quantum field, there are no limits to the transfer of information. So for years, I have done both nutritional and emotional work virtually, using another person as a surrogate to do the actual testing. So there's no limit to being able to test because of location.
No, hang on. You're going to have to go into that a little bit more. So, because there you're talking about the sort of kinesiology type stuff, the physical testing. Mm-hmm. So hang on. How? Explain a little bit more about how that is possible.
So if you study quantum physics, they'll talk about different things. And there are different things that do not move through the physical world. They're not constricted by time and space, because they don't have a weight of matter, like information. So they've done multiple tests all over the place. And then my own living experience has proven it true, that as long as there is permission and openness, information from one being to another can transfer instantaneously. So when I was doing this for nutrition, just to focus energy, right, where you to focus your thought, we'd put the person's name on a piece of paper and their location on me, just to be specific about where we're directing our energy. And then we would test physical points, physical nutrition needed. And then we would actually, this is in the experimental days, have this person come in and then retest. And I know what my body tests like, what my nutritional needs are. And it, every time it would be their stuff, their wow. from their body. And so I'm highly confident. I've also now done this work for years and I can have, you know, my partner Athena there and I can use her hand and have the person say, I love myself. And I test her, you know, we test in the beginning. Okay. We're testing a so-and-so. We've set that intention.
Wow.
And it's
well,
really,
it's, you know, if this works, you know, you're over there, we're over here. It's waves, right? It's frequency. Why wouldn't it work through that? And I do think things are changing. A lot of people are sort of cut. It's still a little bit to get your head around it. I mean, I'm the same with my, I only ended up getting a Healy device because my dad had a stroke and he was in hospital. So I had somebody sent, and it is a bit, you know, if you don't come from that world, it is a bit, bit out there for us to think, well, hang on, how can I be sending frequencies to him? And all you've got is a photo and a name and where he's born. I felt more confident when I could go into the hospital and place the device in his hand, because again, that's my thinking, that's my thought process. I could, it's just too much to get my head around that. But I know it works, but I know it's worked, but it's just our conditioning to like, really, that sounds so out there, but you know, that's what we are, isn't it? We're all vibrational beings.
Yeah. I mean,
we're energy.
It's a little bit of a trip for people. So what we do on our discovery calls is we actually just say, hey, come on a call and experience it. And we're going to test through just some core statements. I love myself. I receive love from others. I love others. And you don't have to tell us anything. And we'll just say, that is subconscious, like in alignment, 100%. That's true for you. No, that's not. Yes, that is. No, that's not. And then we can show them how we dig a little deeper. Okay. The reason why so-and-so doesn't fully love themselves is rooted before the age of 10. The body will say yes or no. And really quickly, we can pinpoint things and they're just like, how did you know?
Like, wow.
So it is something that I think sometimes people have to experience.
100%. And that is it, isn't it? It's you can read the jargon, you can read the science, but until you experience it for yourself, that's when you really know. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, hopefully I think more people are, you know, a bit more open to trying these things. And then once you know it for yourself, that's it. You know it and there's no going back.
Right.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Well, fascinating. I love these talks because, for some of it, it's still a bit out there for me, but I'm just like amazed by it. I love what you're doing. It's what a good combination, what a brilliant combination. And you're doing a lot to help your community. So thank you for being on. And to everybody else on here, if you want to get in touch. Fascinating stuff. And if you want to release any kind of trauma that is affecting your life now, then you can get it dealt with once and for all. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of you guys, if you are yourself a coach, consultant, therapist or healer, and you would like to get your message out there to the people who need it, then come and have a chat. The website /discovery. If you want your own show on Mintwave or have your own podcast channel, then please get in touch. But the rest of you, I will be back on Monday with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Bye.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.